Truly appreciate being here this morning and each one that is here. Have you ever wondered about the loyalty that sports fans feel toward a ball team and what the ball team did to deserve that kind of loyalty? Loving that team so much and being so excited about that team, I've even heard that people have their coffins with that sports team emblem logo on their coffin. Well, I want to say this morning, I love the Church of God. I feel a loyalty. The song says, I love thy kingdom, Lord, the place of thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. I love thy church, O God, her walls before thee stand, dear as the apple of thine eye and graven on thy hand. Why should we love the church this morning? Do you love the church? Do you feel a loyalty? Do you feel that there is something deserving of your loyalty there? In Psalms chapter 87, Psalms 87 and 1, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The foundation of God's church is in a secure place. It is not built on sinking sand. It's not down where the floods will reach, but his foundation is in the holy mountains. I'm glad that the church of God is secure. There are a lot of storms. There are criticisms. There are people that actually fall away, but I'm thankful that his foundation is in the holy mountains. Verse 2 says, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord loves the gates of Zion. Did you know that hell also has gates? Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But the Lord loves the gates of Zion. He loves the entrance to Zion. Jesus said in John 10 and 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. The Lord loves the gates of Zion. He loves that entrance, that door. And I'm glad that there is a door, that there is a place that we can get into this place of safety, this place that deserves our loyalty. If the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob, my question is, how ought we feel about Zion? The gates of Zion. How should we feel about the church of God? Shouldn't we love the church more than all the dwellings of Jacob? Verse 3 says, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Glorious things are spoken of the church. I hear that people go there and they are delivered from sin. I hear that bodies are healed. I hear that people are encouraged there. I hear a lot of glorious things about the church. We ought to want to talk about it. We ought to want to spend our lives associated with the church of God. In verse 4 it says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre, with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said that this man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. It shall be said of Zion, of the church, that this man was born in her. This man seems to have the characteristics of Zion, of the church, of the founder. This man didn't gradually move closer and closer, and finally become a member of Zion. But he was born there. Sometimes people will slip into a country illegally, but that's not the way it is with Zion. We go in legitimately. We go in by being born. Back to verse 6, the Lord shall count when he writeth up his people that this man was born there. I'm glad that the Lord is the one doing the counting. I'm glad that we're not depending on men to decide who is in the church and who is not. But we have the perfect judge that knows the depths of our hearts, that's able to look and decide, that person is in my church. That person was born again, and he keeps a record in heaven. Aren't you glad that you can be a part of a church like that? Verse 7 as well, the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Those of us that are a little older, remember Brother Lewis Williams? He would say when the singers would get up to sing a special many times, the singers will be there. I believe he may have been referring to the scriptures. And I am glad that we can all be there. We can all be in Zion. It says, all my springs are in thee. I'd like to give the Clark's commentary on that. It would be a very natural cause of exaltation when considering that great privileges of this royal city to know that all his friends, family, and children were citizens of this city, were entered into God's register, and were entitled to his protection and favor. Applied to the Christian church, the privileges are still higher. Born of God, enrolled among the living in Jerusalem, having their hearts purified by faith, and being washed and made clean through the blood of the covenant, and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, such have a right to the inheritance among the saints in light. I need not add that springs, wells, fountains, cisterns, and waters are used metaphorically in the sacred writings for children, posterity, fruitful women, people, etc. Isn't it a wonderful thought that our loved ones, many of them have their names in the register and their names are saved? Shouldn't that win our loyalty? It is difficult to move from country to country sometimes because we leave loved ones behind. Our loyalty tends to stay back in another country. But in Zion, we can have our loyalty there. And it is a wonderful thing when we can rejoice and say, all my springs are in thee. In Psalms chapter 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How do you feel about going into the house of God? Do you feel a gladness? Do you feel the joy? The cars line up to go to the ball field. People will pay good money. They'll endure some drizzling rain and some cold to go into the house of playing. But what about when we go into the house of the Lord? Do we feel gladness and joy? Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. You notice that it says, they shall prosper that love thee. Is there anything wrong with loving the church? We hear a lot of emphasis on loving the Lord, and I believe that's important. Not to be minimized, but I believe we can love the church too. The scripture says, they shall prosper that love thee. The strength of our love for the church is an indicator of our strength, the strength of our love for Christ. How can we love Christ and not love his church? I love the Church of God. Don't you love it this morning? John chapter 13. John 13 and 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This is an indicator that we are disciples of Christ, that we have love one to another. So our love for the fellow church members is tied to our love for Christ, and that people will know that we are His children because of our love one for another. Sometimes people will become critical of the church, and I'm sorry it's that way. But consider why. I believe that one reason is that when we use the name Church of God, it distinguishes us as a body from other groups that are going under different names. And sometimes there is pressure not to mention the name Church of God or not to emphasize teachings of the church. Let's just focus instead on Jesus, on that common denominator, on the thing that unites us. But I believe that we don't need to be ashamed of the Church of God or ashamed of the teachings. There have been people so critical of the church that one has even made the statement the church has sinned. But that's not in keeping with the scripture. That's not what the scripture says about the church. And I believe a statement like that can really border on blasphemy. Ephesians 5 and 25 gives us a picture of the church. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Do you have that picture of the church in your mind this morning? A church without any blemishes, with no sin, it is beautiful and it ought to win our loyalty. Rather than be excited about a football team, and it's kind of puzzling, how did you choose the team that you're excited about, that you're loyal to? Because you went to college there? Many people didn't go to college there, but yet they feel such an affinity with that ball team. But yet, something so beautiful as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any blemish, I believe that we can feel a loyalty to the church and a love. There is nothing wrong with feeling a surge of pride and satisfaction in the Church of God, to feel an identity there, to feel patriotism. We have felt that in years past, associated with our country. We would hear the national anthem and we would feel some loyalty. We would feel a surge of pride. There's nothing wrong with feeling that about the Church of God. I remember decades ago, one of the minister's sons was speaking in a way about the church that was critical about the saints. And with me working for him, that put me in an awkward position, but finally, after a while, I said, one thing about the saints, I'm one of them. And that stopped the criticism. We ought to feel a loyalty. We ought to feel that those are my people that you're talking about. It is true that the church is composed of people that do have faults, that make mistakes, but we ought to be willing to bear with them. Why should we love the church? Psalms 87. Back to verse 5. the end of the verse, the highest himself shall establish her. When God builds something, he does it perfectly. He doesn't have to go back and make corrections and revisions like we have to do in the engineering world. When we set up a manufacturing plant, we set up a line a certain way, and then we discover we can do it more efficiently. Let's change things. God did not do it that way. The highest himself shall establish her. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. With the church having that kind of builder and maker, we don't need to have any criticism of the church. It is beautiful. The church has been done in a way that is perfect. In Isaiah 28 and 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The church of God is built on a foundation that will be there through all eternity. A precious cornerstone. We can anchor our lives on that. We can build our lives. We can face the judgment being on that cornerstone. I am thankful for the church of God, and I feel my loyalty there. The church of God is beautiful partly because it is a place of healing. It is a place where people's spirits can be healed from deep wounds in their lives. It's a place where people can find healing in their relationships with other people. Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound. These are some of the glorious things that are spoken of Zion, that there are good tidings that are being brought to the meek. Good news that the Lord has sent to bind up the brokenhearted. Aren't there times that all of us face that in life, that we need healing in our hearts? I'm glad that we can find that in the church of God. I am glad that there is liberty to those that are captive to sin found in God's church. I am glad that he has opened the prison. Those that were bound by habits, all of us have been in sin, and I am thankful that there is a place of healing in the church. The church of God is a place of comfort, Isaiah 40. Verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isn't it comforting to know that our iniquity can be pardoned? So many people in this world are in despair, and they go to psychologists, psychiatrists. They turn to drink or to medicines to try to alter their behavior, to try to swing their moods. But in Zion there is comfort. The comfort of knowing that our sins are pardoned. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Whatever it is that needs to be fixed in our lives, the Lord can fix that. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Verse 9, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Don't be afraid. Yes, the world is a dark place. Yes, there is sin out there. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what laws of the land may come in the near future even. We don't know what persecution there may be. But the scripture says, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. I am glad the church of God is a place of comfort. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. The church of God is a place where babes in Christ can be carried, where the young can be comforted. And even those that near the end of life and their minds begin slipping away, the scripture says, comfort the feeble-minded. It is a place of comfort for God's people. I love the church of God. The church of God is a place of redemption. Isaiah 51 and verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Have you had sorrow in your life and mourning? Blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. But they're not going to be comforted with the comfort they need in the world or by living in sin. But it is those that come to Zion. They are the ones that will have everlasting joy on their heads. The church of God is a place of restoration. Have you ever had something in your life that needed fixing? 1 Corinthians 6 and chapter 9. Is there anything too hard for God? Any place of our lives that we've messed up so badly that God cannot fix? Here's a list of some ugly things. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What hope does the world have that have been involved in these types of things? What hope did we have as sinners? I am thankful there is hope of restoration in the church of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You are not reformed by your own will. You're not simply making New Year's resolutions and trying to get better, trying to overcome your addictions, your sins, but ye are washed. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't the church of God a wonderful place where we ought to feel loyalty? Oh, thank God, somebody else got their life washed. It ought to make us rejoice and happy instead of screaming and shouting because somebody made a touchdown. We ought to be so glad that this is the type of church that we have a privilege of being a part of. Such were some of you, but ye are washed. To be cleaned up, to have another start in life, to have renewed hope is such a blessing, such a beautiful thing. I want to be loyal to a place like that, where people's lives are restored. The church of God is a place of unity. Isaiah, I believe this is Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 6. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, "Be of good courage." So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, "It is ready for soldering." And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. Isn't it beautiful when people work together in the harmony of the Spirit? First of all, the Spirit puts them in their right places. That is the beginning point for people working together in harmony, when people are in their proper places as placed by Christ. And then as the Spirit of God moves people, there is a harmony and a working together where, how may I help you, my brother? How may I encourage you along the way? Can I hold the sword for you while you build up the wall? The Church of God is a beautiful place. 1 Corinthians 16. First Corinthians, Corinthians 16 and 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's quite an addiction, isn't it? To the ministry of the saints. Can you imagine just giving yourself over to serving the saints? When we feel the loyalty to the church that we ought to feel, it ought to give us the desire, I want to serve the church. It's quite a challenge here. Jesus gave himself for the church, laid down his life. Shouldn't we be willing to do the same? The church is beautiful. Revelation 21 and 2. Can you think of anything more beautiful than a bride on her wedding day? I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I believe that a virtuous bride is so much more beautiful than a woman that has made herself a harlot and has committed fornication with this world. We can speak spiritually or literally, but I see something so beautiful in this pure bride. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Would you like a vision of the Church of God this morning, to see how beautiful the church is? And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. I have been to different cities in the world, And I have been to beautiful cities that were kept fairly clean with beautiful buildings. And I've been to cities that were smoggy and a lot of trash on the road. But in all those cities, there is ugliness. There is violence. There are homeless people, no doubt, in every large city of the world. But can you imagine a city this beautiful? The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the eight nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. In the cities of this world, sometimes people try to create a paradise. They'll set up city ordinances. They will do what they can to make that city as nice as they can make it. But in this city, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Perhaps this is speaking of heaven. I think it is. But I believe the church of God is that way too, that things that defile do not go into the church of God. And that in time, the church of God here will be in that place. Neither whatsoever worketh an abomination. Can you imagine picking up a newspaper in this city and you can't find a single report of somebody being mugged or a child being abused? Don't you long for that kind of a day? Don't you want to be a part of an institution where there's that kind of purity? I do. I love the Church of God. There are things about this world that I truly enjoy, and I love living. But I'm really looking forward to the day when we can just set all that stuff behind us. If we could know the things that are happening out there, we couldn't handle it. But I am glad that there is a place. There's a place of safety in this world, in the church, in Christ, that we don't have to have anything that works in abomination or makes a lie. But they, which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a secure book. Sometimes people lose data from their computers. Sometimes records are burned down in buildings. But to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, isn't that a beautiful thought? That nobody can throw you out of the church, but only you yourselves. We ourselves. Political leaders will disappoint us. It seems like in the news, this one, scandal. That one, a scandal. And it just keeps happening over and over. And if we could really expose all of them, I imagine a good part of them, there'd be scandals. But I am glad in the church of God that his people are pure and clean. And we don't have to worry about that, that there being someone that is truly in the church who is scandalous. I appreciate the church of God this morning. I'm glad for the privilege of being there. And I want to stay there. I want my own life to be such that he doesn't take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I appreciate a place of comfort and healing, a place of safety, a place of real harmony, unity where kindred spirits can blend and fellowship. What a beautiful song, the one that says, talking about the unity. I'm trying to remember the song, As Sweet Strains of Heavenly Music. To me, it is such a beautiful picture of the unity and harmony in the Church of God, where spirits are blending together in mutual acceptance. Such liberty and such cleanness. I appreciate God's church today.